All right, welcome back. Appetite for Construction. Tim Ward, how you doing?
John Mason Brink, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. We are covering another American Plumber Stories story, and it's Big Sky Plumbing in Springville, Utah. And there's a lot of stuff to unpack. So, what do you think? Should we get after it?
Let's get after it.
All right, so let's bring in, we have Gavin Johnson and his wife, Christy Johnson. How are you guys?
Hey, guys.
Doing great. Yeah, good to see
good.
You guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so the story goes that you, and Craig Morgan mentions this in the beginning, is Big Sky Plumbing in Utah. The story is that you know, Gavin, you did a church mission up in Montana, and you were impressed with the state, and paying homage to, you know, Montana, you called
paying homage to the great state of Montana. Yeah, it turned out to be a pretty good marketing technique because everyone brings it up. Why Big Sky in Utah?
But my question is, if you loved Montana so much, why didn't you move to Montana?
He talked about it.
It is a consideration, and it will always be a consideration.
Maybe a second shot.
They lack a little population. If I move to one of the bigger cities, yes, but this is just felt right, and now we are still here 23 years later, 24 years later, but now I still have a pull to go back to Montana and hide away from everyone and just have my own little safe space there.
Yeah.
Gavin, speaking of population, Utah has obviously grown pretty a lot in the last 20 years. How significant was that to kind of the growth of Big Sky Plumbing as well?
You know, the timing couldn't have been better for me.
Yeah.
And to start when I did, you know, although I started right before the recession in 06, I started, and it was tough. Those few years were very, very tough during that recession. But I learned a ton. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot about business and what to do and what not to do and who to work for and who not to work for. And as a result, when things got good and we were no longer eating chicken bones and we moved on to the meat of the chicken, you know, luckily I had those lessons that I had learned and were able to apply them for the good times.
Yeah. So you went back to Memphis after the mission in Montana. And you mentioned this before we just jumped on that you decided to pack up the Kia Sophia. Remember the Kia Sophia, Tim?
And I don't actually. He said that in the. I watched the episode. I was like, I had to Google what that was.
so you decided to pack it up and go out west to Utah, yeah. And that's where you met your wife, Christy. And there's a juicy story to go on.
There's a little bit of a juicy story. So before I went to Montana. I was friends with a missionary who was from Idaho, but was in Tennessee, Arkansas area doing the same type of thing, but in that area.
Okay.
He and I became good friends. I left to go to Montana. He finished his time out in Tennessee, moved back to Idaho. You know, I pack up the Kia Sophia in the August of 99.
And he did the same. He moved to Utah, too, to go to school.
And he moved to Utah. No air conditioning. Windows down all the way from Memphis to Utah in August.
Yeah.
And I ran into that guy in near the local university. And we started hanging out again. He actually had a girlfriend or had dated a girl named Christy.
I was with him when you ran into him.
I had a girlfriend as well. And let's just say the rest is history. The good guy won.
But he wouldn't let it go for a while. He was pretty mad at Gavin.
Well, you said 22 years later, he hasn't gotten over it.
He's good now. He's married and with family. And, you know, we've actually reconnected a few years back and spent time together. He's a great guy. When we were together, we had tons of fun, but he wasn't real happy with me, and rightfully so. But I feel like that's how it was meant to be, and that's how it worked out. And No complaints on my part.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, you know, this episode, it's called Roping the Future, American Plumber Stories. You can find it on YouTube and on the website, AmericanPlumberStories.com. I hear that you recently had like a viewing party, or it was at a movie theater, and you brought in the family and the parents and all that. I'm just wondering, in the video, your mom, the reaction when you said you want to be a plumber, she was like, oh my, or something to that effect.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. So then she's sitting in this movie theater watching this production of you and your company and your family. How did that make you feel, buddy?
You know, I felt really grateful. Like, I have no ill feelings towards her saying, oh, honey. It's just, it was the mindset.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that you know, the trajectory of your career is pretty remarkable.
You know, I just kind of sat there and just had a lot of gratitude just for the fact that here we are watching this, you know, watching the past 20 years unfold on a big screen with all the people that have been part of that story. And it was really neat. And I appreciate Josh, the local Pfister rep, for bringing that up and making that happen. Certainly it wasn't my idea to go see myself on the big screen, but Josh, the local Pfister rep, did it and made it work. And it was a great time. We watched it twice and sat down and ate some popcorn, and it was just an amazing experience to see where it all started. Mm-hmm. And the people that, you know, help us get there. And, you know, I just felt like a great blessing just cherry on the top, you know, top of the sundae that we've been served.
Well, speaking of Pfister, Spencer Brown, welcome. Another great episode that you guys have pulled together. What drew your attention and made you want to go out to Utah to do an American Plumber Stories on Gavin Johnson?
Well, I heard they have a good quality of animals out there, and I wanted to get on the hunt. No, actually,
and growing, Spencer.
You know, I thought about this today, Tim, because I knew you were going to ask me this question on where I met Gavin, and I went back to think about that, and I didn't have a good answer. But I did notice that Gavin has used some of our product on some projects. So we had some, I didn't know him, Josh Ingram, who he's talking about, a relationship with him. He'd done some Pfister projects, but I had noticed on our Instagram and our socials, they were very active in promoting American Plumber Stories. I think y'all actually won a Craig Morgan flag in promotion. And so,
and it's hanging in the shop still. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was autographed. They won I can't remember exactly how you won it, but they won it. So when they posted it on their social and were around it, they were rallying about what we were doing, very proponent of American Plumber Stories. And they would do this very regular all the time. So I saw the passion that they had before they were featured on the show. And that drew me into their company a little bit more. And then we had some relationships with work. And then I just called Gavin. I think you were hunting in Texas when I called you or something. I can't remember
We were in Colorado.
Chrissy and I were in Colorado, and we were just getting ready to get, and this is going to be manly, we were just getting some pedicures.
That's what it was. Sorry. Yeah. I tried to help you out there, Gavin. But, but I remember
I'm proud of it.
But I think that also the scenery of the Utah was really neat, and what he has done for the trade was we wanted to. I knew he had a younger group of plumbers we wanted to feature, because that was the theme of this year, is the younger generation. And you saw that in the video, how much they love what they do. And I know we talk about this all the time, but they don't look like plumbers. They look like guys that maybe not be, but do you see how much they love it? And they talked about that in the episode. So that's kind of where we met, I guess. Is that right, Gavin? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a really good answer on that.
That's exactly right.
I hope there's a day where you don't have to say they don't look like plumbers. I mean, what I hope that stigma is gone. Like, stereotype of a plumber, right?
We hate to say it, but there still is a stereotype.
I know. I'm just saying that someday, right?
But part of it is the plumbers themselves might need to change their outward appearance, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell by, and I'm going to toot our own horn, but, you know, I preach to my guys, you look professional, we drive clean vehicles, we act professional, and you'll be taken as a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. As part of Mechanical Hub and Plumbing Perspective and the things that we do as a media company is we interview a lot of contractors across the country. And one of the things I'm very curious about is the jump to owning your own company. And I always ask, like, are you anxious to get the phone to ring? I mean, how did you kind of navigate that time? And Christy, you said you were scared. I mean, it was a scary time. What was going through your mind when this was going on?
If Gavin would have said to me, do you want me to start my own business? It's completely up to you. I would have said, hell no. Mm-hmm. It was scary. We had three babies at mm-hmm. one time. And we had, it wasn't that much after he'd gone to plumbing school that he did this. And during plumbing school, the twins had just been born while he was in school. So he was working all day and then going to school at night. And I had two newborns and a 17-month-old. And it was so hard during the night. He'd take one baby and I'd take one baby. So we were both exhausted. Like usually mm-hmm. one parent can get some sleep, but we were both exhausted. So I felt like as soon as we came out of that fog, then he said, I want to start my own business. And I was terrified. And I said, why don't you just keep working for this company and bring home a paycheck every 2 weeks? And we know how much money you're going to get. That sounds like the better option to me. Mm-hmm. But if you know Gavin, you can't really talk him in or out of anything. And
well, there's the safer option, which, you know, the security of what you're saying. And then maybe the vision of Gavin seeing mm-hmm. like, listen, we can hit big here. Right. So,
and I would like to think that I was supportive, but I was scared. Mm-hmm. I think mostly, but he wanted to take it on mm-hmm. and he knew that I just wanted to be home with the kids. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and he wanted that just as much as I did too. So he took every job possible and worked so many hours and didn't say no to anything just to try and pay our bills and let me stay home with our babies. And we never ate out. Our kids either wore clothes from garage sales or clothes that my mom had bought for them. Their Christmas and their birthdays were toys that my parents gave them. We didn't buy them anything. We didn't spend any money on anything except for what we needed, mm-hmm. what we really needed. It was a lot of work. It was really hard. But now looking back, I wouldn't want it any other way. And watching our story unfold on the screen at that movie theater, it was like the best payday you could imagine to watch our story that we've lived out in real life. We saw in real life, but to see what American Plumber Stories has done for the trade and how they chose to spotlight us, it was such an incredible honor. And I've been crying for months, and every time I put the story back on our TV to just like watch it in the background as I'm doing something, I'm still crying. I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for Gavin. I'm grateful for plumbing. I'm grateful for the trades. I'm grateful for Pfister. I'm grateful for American Plumber Stories and what they're doing for the trades. Could I tell a little story about something that our daughter said that will embarrass her a little bit, but it just points out what people think of plumbers so well, I think. Mm. But when she's almost 22 now, but when she was about 15, there was this boy that she had a crush on, and he had a crush on her. And so she would always tell me, you know, like, oh, this is what he said in a text, or this is what I said, or he asked me to do this or that. And it was really exciting because it was like her real, like, first crush, and she was, you know, going to go on this like a homecoming date or something with him. So it was a fun time. And I remember asking her, like, well, Riley, how many kids are in his family? She says, I don't know. I was like, well, what else do you know about him? What does he like to do? I don't know. Like, well, what does his dad do for a living? I don't know. So I said, Briley, these are questions that you ask when you're getting to know somebody. You ask him these questions. Text him this. How many kids are in his family? Okay. Then they text back and forth. What does his dad do for a living? Okay. So she's reading it to me. And she says, his dad is the president, the CEO. Like, she reads off this huge, long title that I can't even duplicate because it was ridiculous. But the CEO, president of this, of this, of this, of this company. And I said, did he ask what your dad does? Yeah. Well, what'd you say? I said, my dad's just a plumber. So he said, Briley, your dad's not just a plumber. And even if Gavin didn't own his own business, he's not just a plumber. Plumbers are the ones that give you your clean water that you cook with, that you bathe with, that you can have indoor plumbing with. They're the ones that make it possible for people to have surgeries. And the like, dad's the one that does the med gas for hospitals. And we explain this to her, but we have always teased her and said, like, if Gavin says something that we're like, oh, you, what do you know? You're just a plumber. So it's become this huge joke. And then a few years later, when she was a senior in high school, she was at a party and this boy was there. And so she said her friends told this boy, like, remember when Briley told you that her dad was just a plumber? And so they kind of remind him of this conversation they had. And he said, well, actually, my dad got a promotion. So now he owns this business or whatever.
He's like, he's now he's the CEO or whatever else.
Yeah. And she said, cool, my dad's still just a plumber. Yeah. But now she knows, like, he's not just a plumber. They're not just plumbers. We need that plumber more than that business.
Gavin, we just found out what the secret sauce to your success is.
Well, I was going to say, Spencer, you have a new spokeswoman for the series now.
We'll definitely utilize her in on the road. She can speak to the moms.
But I get that in hospitals too, where we're working in a surgery center or in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And the doctors do think that they, not all of them, but there are a few that think, they got that white coat. They're more important and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I just kind of laugh to myself as I'm cleaning up after the mess we just made. Like, I guarantee I make more money than you. But it's not about that, nor do I need to make about that. But that's the way they're carrying themselves and kind of look down upon us. I just kind of snicker and say, you're lost.
You're pretty proud of just being a plumber, though, Gavin. I mean, you're okay with that, right?
I'm absolutely okay with it. Absolutely.
Maybe that's the new.
I hold my head high for it. Absolutely.
We need to create a.
Maybe we need to make a shirt. Yeah.
I'm just a plumber.
So throughout the video, there's, you know, interviews with some of your employees, and it's pretty impressive to see how they all get along, and they talk about, you know, wanting to come to work, like the desire to actually want to go to work because it's fun and it's a good atmosphere. Talk about how you built that company culture to include everybody and make everyone feel like it's a family.
I've said to the upper management guys that it starts at the top, right, and works its way down. But when I very first started, it was just myself, and then I eventually hired my brother a short time later. But there is a friend of mine who is a Tongan man named Daniel Fatai, and he owned a concrete company. He still does. But the way he interacted with all of his guys, he bought them lunch every day. He didn't think he was above them. He just did things to bring camaraderie. And it was just the Tongan way. It's the island way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. So even when I had two or three employees, like, I bought their lunch every day. I did things to show them that we are a group, but we are one with one goal in mind. And so it just kind of trickled down. More guys, we've done that, more things that we've done to build more of that culture. Whether it's playing basketball, whether it's taking a half day and we're coming to the shop to play cornhole, to play ping pong, you know. We just got back from a trip from Arizona where I paid the guys 3 days to, we went to an Arizona Diamondbacks game where they beat the Dodgers and they got paid for it. And we rented a big house and we cooked and ate together. And so we do things to invite that feeling. Right. Mm-hmm. And who's going to say no to a half day paid or 3 days paid or a trip to Mexico? Or whatever it is, you know, it's not just about the work every day. There are things that we do, and those are just a few of the things we do to create that unity.
Well, I mean, a testament is also, you know, there's Russell Ellsworth was featured on. He's a 10-year veteran of the company. I mean, 10 years, that's a long time to work for.
He's 10 years. My brother Colin's 15.
Yeah. And Russell has a bachelor's degree. He was just going to work temporarily for Big Sky while he got his degree and then graduated and realized, okay, well, now I have this degree and now I'm still a peon wherever I go to work and I'm going to have to work my way up. So he decided to stay at Big Sky and knew there were more opportunities for him.
And you'll see in one of those pictures on the YouTube video, it shows the group of guys standing there, a few group of guys standing there with a cooler, a saddle pad, and whatever else. So every year on their anniversary, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, they're recognized with a company logo on whatever we think would fit them at the time. And, you know, so they're vested in the company. It's really a team. And so, you know, I asked all the guys to wear a Big Sky shirt and Big Sky hat every day. I provide that to all my guys. I don't have to buy it. The gloves say Big Sky Plumbing on them. Like, I want them to remember that they're part of a team.
I was just going to add that one of the cool parts of the video is that we're introduced to three apprentices. That means there's more people coming into the trades that want to be involved with your company, and there's growth opportunity there. And I thought that was really cool to, you know, hear a little bit about, you know, what those apprentices, why they're wanting to join.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane. It's the energy for everyone.
Oh yeah, I love the new guys, and I, when I talk to Colin and Clint, who's been my side from Clint's my, it only shows up for a minute. He's sitting there at the desk. Clint's my best friend. We grew up together in Memphis. We've been best friends since we're 15 years old. And he worked at FedEx for 25 years and part time for me. Finally, he came over full time, and it works full time for us now. And when we talk about that, I always liken it to like the farm league for baseball. And then we get into the majors. And so in order for me to provide growth for the apprentices so they can see that they can grow into something more and have more responsibility, more money, I've got to get the farm club going. And so the farm club's the first and second year employees, you know, and we got to keep them, build them and train them to move on up to the ranks.
Yeah, in the shop, there's a poster I notice on the wall. It says, is it the Burlsworth Award?
Burlsworth Award.
Burlsworth. What is that? No, I'm not.
So Brandon Burlsworth played at University of Arkansas. He was a Razorback. He made a movie.
Well, not he, but.
Well, yeah, he passed. What was the movie
there's
called?
There's a movie about him.
It's called Greater. And I watched that movie, and it really inspired me. He was a chubby little kid, kind of. Not an athlete, but he worked his butt off. Finally made, you know, Pop Warner, junior high, wanted to be a starter on the high school team. And all the while he's saying, I'm going to play for the Razorbacks. I'm going to be a Razorback. I'm going to be a Razorback. And they're like, oh, you're too fat. You're not slow. You're not fast enough. Finally, he makes it to the Razorbacks as a walk-on. His mom's like, we don't have money. I've saved enough money to pay you for 1 year, pay 1 year of schooling. Eventually, he gets a scholarship, kills it, and then finishes school, drafted to the Indianapolis Colts, on his way back home to see his mom in Arkansas to take her to a church, gets killed in a car accident. And so every year they have the Burlsworth Award where they give a scholarship to a walk-on in the NCAA, you know, and so And so I called the Burlsworth Award because, you know, I think there's a little bit of Brandon Burlsworth in all of us and some of my guys. And so that's why I call it the Burlsworth Most Valuable Plumber Award. And we issue it every month based on a topic that we chose the previous month. And the guy's just super inspiring. He's a godly man. He's a hard worker. He's just about every attribute you'd want in a human being. And so it's just a way to remind us, you know, of him and what that stands for.
There's a couple moments in the episode that are really emotional. One is when you talk about the pipe cutter.
Yeah.
Share a little bit about the significance of the pipe cutter, if you could.
Yeah. I figured that would make the cut. I don't necessarily love being, you know, being emotional for everyone to see as a man that's
gets pedicures.
Yeah. Pedicures I'm okay with. Yeah. But I guess I just got emotional because it kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like that Brandon Burlesworth, maybe that chubby kid who it wasn't ever expected to make it. Right. And was, as I mentioned in the story, maybe reinforced by teachers and other people that, you know, maybe you weren't smart enough or good enough, but, you know, just kind of came full circle. And I have so much appreciation for the people that work for Big Sky, you know, and so between the cutters and, you know, the guys on that name, I mean, it makes me very appreciative. And I guess it got to me because it kind of came full circle and it just, you know, I guess I felt like I'd not reached the top, but come full circle into what would be considered a success.
And one of the things when I'm interviewing them, I wait until the end. The question that came, that created that answer was, I said, all right, I'm going to ask you one last question. And I said, what does plumbing mean to you? And that was where that answer came from. So it was a very genuine, I had no idea the pipe cutter was, I was literally sitting next to it. I had no idea that it was even there. And it was a genuine answer from Gavin that he said, hand me that pipe cutter. And then that's how the answer came out.
Another cool part of the story, and maybe a little bit emotional, is so we're highlighting all the emotional parts for Gavin. But you had mentioned that Christy was supportive and instrumental in you chasing your dreams, and she kind of like let you do your thing, owning your business and stuff like that. And you turned around and said, "What can I do for you? How can I help you chase your dream?" And her dream is Christy.
Well, I don't dream quite as big as Gavin. Maybe that's why we're a good team. But all I ever wanted to do was be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me that dream. And then as I got older and he brought us out to the country to live, which wasn't my dream. I was perfectly happy living in the city where my kids could walk to school. They could walk to the swimming pool. They could walk to go get a snow cone in the summer. I liked where we lived, but we'd outgrown that house and that garage, and Gavin had plumbing stuff stored in our garage and a storage system at the hospital everywhere. And he had horses that obviously couldn't be kept at our house. And he really wanted to move out to the country. And I thought, I can be happy anywhere. We'll go where he wants to go. And we did. And then after we got out here and I started collecting all these farm animals that he really doesn't, if it were up to him, he'd have a roping horse. And
two roping horses. And my dog. That's it.
And a calf, or, you know, one of those. What do you rope? Is it a calf?
Steers. Roping steer.
A steer, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So and I guess.
I asked you before we jumped on. I thought it was a yak, but you said it was a Highland cow.
Highland cow.
Mm-hmm. And so I got to ask you, do you have names for all these animals?
Yeah.
Even her chickens have names.
Hey, Christy, did the baby make it, though? The baby? They had a baby when we were there.
No, the baby wasn't on there. But now, at the time, when they came out to film the baby Highland cow, he lived with his mom. So it was kind of hard to get right next to him because his mom was really protective of him. But now he's weaned and he's lives in a little pen by himself. And we can take him on walks. And he's the cutest little thing. Fuzzy red hair and little tiny horns. But he was born on Easter Sunday. My son went out to feed the animals on Easter and he was out there forever. And he came back in and we said, "What took you so long?" And he said, Gertie had her baby. I was taking her some water and hay, just nonchalant. So we tried to think of an Easter name that we all liked. We never agreed on one, but I named him Sunday since he was born on Easter. And then we call him Sunny for short. He's the cutest little thing. And then there's mini donkeys out front. And Gavin's favorite are the goats, though, that holler all day.
They stink and they scream. And if anyone's listening wants three billy goats, we will gladly deliver them.
Gavin will pay you to take my billy goats.
Absolutely. But she really has all of her chickens named, and she can identify which chicken is which.
Yeah, she's got the name as the, she's the people internally who didn't know Chrissy's name, they would refer her as the chicken lady in the episode.
Yep.
So she's I'm now okay the chicken lady.
Yeah.
She's been the chicken lady for quite some time, even before this.
That's okay. I like it.
Gavin, how often do you actually get out and do some team roping?
Let's see. Well, when that episode was shot, I had just had knee surgery and I had the bum knee, so I hadn't roped for about 10 months. And so right before that episode, Spencer called me, oh crap. So I got my horse legged up and I'd roped for a few weeks before that. But I try to rope 2 to 3 times a week now that my knee's okay. I would like to do it. I'd like to do it every day. I got a new horse. That horse that's in the video. He's gone lame, so I got another horse, and I'd love to do it every day. It's one of those things that I just absolutely love. And
still playing some basketball too.
I think I'm on the injured reserve list for the basketball team.
Well, that was one of my questions. I saw the team in their unis. I was like, well, how's Gavin's hoop game? But
let me tell you, I come from Memphis, so it used to be good, but it's pretty poor these days. Clint and I used to go, and man, we were a great duo, but he's still a great basketball player. And I've, as you can see in the pictures, my physique has changed a little bit.
One thing about the story is you mentioned your parents were religious. You went on a church mission up into Montana. How has faith guided you on your journey with, you know, work and your family?
I'll tell you what, it's meant everything to me, especially in business. Mm-hmm. During that recession, there's a big business park that has a bunch of commercial buildings, and the owner of him called me and said, hey, I have no idea how he got my number, because I didn't have any advertising. It was just me and a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And I think Colin may have worked for me at that time. But he said, hey, we've got this issue. We can't figure out what's leaking. And it's leaking down into a surgical room. I've had multiple plumbers. Anyways, I get up there and he says, how old are you? And I said, I'm 27. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I've had so many older plumbers try to figure this out, and I said, let me just take a look at it. I honestly went out to my truck and I prayed, and I said, God, I'm gonna need a little help on this one, because I think I'm above my head on this one. And I went in there and I figured it out, I figured out what the problem was. And that man named Doug Nelson, he had mentioned how many older plumbers and how impressed he was. And as a result, like, that's what kept us going during the recession. We did service work for all of his commercial buildings, his care centers. And I really give God the credit on that one, because I was above, it was above what I knew. But I, you know, went back in there.
Yeah.
All the fake confidence in the world, but figured it out. And, you know, Doug was happy, and he gave us lots of work for those years. So, yeah. And it's still the same way from... You know, I try to keep a pretty open communication with God, because I believe that he knows much better than me. And so, as Chrissy said, I'm pretty stubborn, but I try to listen to that man.
What's it like to have your son working with you?
You know, the funny thing is Colin's my brother. Russell is Colin's brother-in-law. Clint's my best friend. Mm-hmm. And then Brendan, and then... Brendan is my son. And so when he started, he was 17. No, he was younger than that. I think he was 16. He started just as a laborer working summers. And like I said in that episode, I'm dang proud of his hard work. I don't work with him a lot because I'm not on the jobs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I am super proud of him. I'll be honest, I'm harder on him than any of my employees. I expect more from him than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I forget he's a 20-year-old kid that doesn't have this maybe the same goals and ambitions as a 45-year-old man does.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I forget to cut him a little slack, but I love that my son works for me. I love that I get to work with my brother and Russell and Clint. Like, it's really amazing that all of us with such tight bonds can still work together. There are days that we get annoyed with each other and we do let each other know how we feel but we'll still go hunt. We'll still go play basketball. We'll still figure it all out.
Yeah. According to Christy, there may be another one coming up the road here in a few years too.
Another baby?
No.
I'm just kidding. Another.
No.
Baby cow.
Another son joining the business.
Yeah. So Lincoln is 14 and he's my payback child. He's my mini me. And so I understand him a little more than most people, but I would love for Lincoln to come work for the company. Right mm-hmm. now, his little business is recycling the copper and the brass that we pull off jobs.
That's cool.
So, but he got hit by a car in April, broke his femur.
Whoa.
So I was hoping he would come work this summer, but hopefully next summer he'll be running the broom and maybe the shovel as a 15-year-old.
Yeah. He made cool. it in the episode on the motorcycle scene. I think.
Yeah, he's the mullet guy.
Yeah. It was the end of May he got in his accident because it was after Spencer May and his 30th. Crew were here. Yeah. But he'll definitely do something in the trades.
Yeah.
He's a hands-on, busy little bee, likes to be outside. He's just like how I was as a kid. Don't hold me back.
Very cool. Hey, what is Sam Keller up to these days?
You know, Sam Keller and I still keep in touch.
Yeah.
Okay. He was originally from Modesto, California, and he has moved to Utah. And we've had him and his wife and kids over for dinner a few times. I haven't seen Sam for probably about a year, but he saw that episode and sent me a nice response. He didn't remember clogging the sink. It didn't really stand out to him as much as me. But Sam Keller is one of the best humans in the world. And he's actually an IT guy now, I think, is something with computers.
So full disclosure, was that, the reenactment of that scene, was that Spencer in a wig or what was?
That's Josh Ingram. And when they filmed that, I was like, that's a little pretty dark. Close. That's a little dark, but the way it all edited out, Chip is the guy
who's Chip's vision.
Chip's vision. And it really came out great. And I really quite like it. Obviously, Sam Keller didn't have long, blonde, curly hair, right? Because there's a dress standard.
Whatever wig they could get at Walmart that day, I think.
No, I got that wig out of a Halloween box down in the basement.
I wore that for Halloween at one time. But Sam did have long, curly hair. He's half Polynesian, and so he did have long, thick, black hair and sent it all the way down the drain. So that, But I also called another missionary up and that was a friend of mine. And I was on the reservation and I said, man, I think I'm going to be a plumber. And he says, oh, we got to get you off the reservation. I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? I kind of chuckled to myself where he is and where we are.
You mentioned this. A lot of people mention this. You put in hard work and diligence and the time that the trades will pay you back and it will be good to you. Can you kind of explain that a little bit more?
I think I said something to the fact that, if you're willing to put in the hard work and the time, this trade will take you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be a maintenance man at a hospital, if you want to do new construction, if you want to work on boilers, the trade of plumbing is so wide open. And if you want to learn more, there's always more to learn. It's a lot more than just hooking up a faucet in a house.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided to get into the medical gas It was just, I wanted to learn more. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that set us apart. And so we're still learning all the time.
Yeah.
Still trying to take on projects that we're unfamiliar with just so that we can be challenged and some so that we can be educated.
And how many guys do you have working for you?
Right now we're at 17.
Seven. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
We're always looking for more.
Yeah.
That farm club needs to, we need a few more. But I will say there is a standard. We're very, very picky as to who we hire. Right. Mm-hmm. We want someone who can mesh with the group that kind of has the same goals as us. And if you have a desire for hard work, if you have a desire to better yourself, man, we can teach you everything else.
And that's kind of the theme we're hearing, you know, with maybe throughout the whole American Plumber stories, and especially this year, is that, you know, you find the right people, the characteristics, the traits, you know, the work ethic, then you can kind of mold them and teach them the trade as they're basically being groomed into the plumbing industry through your company.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Can I mention something?
Sure.
I think what, at least as a mom, what I've seen is that a lot of people and maybe like a lot of kids don't understand that you can get into the trades and you have a career right from the beginning. You're working mm-hmm. full time and you're making good wages. And then your schooling is a couple days a week in the evening, which Gavin pays for the schooling for all of his employees. But even if he didn't, even if you worked for somebody who didn't, it's so much more affordable to go to trade school than it is to go to college. And I wish that's something that the kids understood. And I wish that's something that the school counselors would tell the kids, and especially kids like Gavin or like my son Lincoln. I wish the school counselors would say, hey, because Gavin mentions this in American Plumber Stories, you look like you might like to do something like this. Have you ever thought about this? And you mm-hmm. could start it while you're in high school. Right. And you could start making good money. And whereas when you get a bachelor's degree and you get this degree and then you go out into the workplace and try these jobs, and then what if you don't like it? Because mm-hmm. you didn't have this job. But where with trade school, you could go try the job before you even start school and see if it's something that you like. And I just think it's a real shame that our school counselors aren't more educated in the trades. And I think I told this to Spencer, but when Brennan started trade school, I had to go fight his counselor to get him credit for going to trade school and for working for Gavin. And I said, his twin is working food service and getting credit for working in food service. Why can't Brennan get credit for working as a plumber? Mm-hmm. And why can't Brennan get credit for going to trade school? You're giving these girls credit for going to cosmetology school, but you don't want to give Brennan credit for going working as a plumber and going to plumbing school. It doesn't make sense. And Gavin actually had to have our school president call him and explain to him how it worked. So I just wish more people knew how it worked and what a great opportunity trade school is for.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, your one son who's in, well, he's in high school now, but he's just not cut out to be sitting in a classroom. You know, you said the school construct is there's something a little amiss yeah. about it. Like it's just right. not for everybody. They it's try not. To mold It'll you never, into a certain direction. Exactly. And if you're not that person, or if you like yeah. to work with your hands, or you know, you like, mm-hmm.
You'll never feel successful or smart in public school. Public school is broken and mm-hmm. it will never make people like Gavin, Link, like my boys feel like they're successful and smart, even though those are the ones that are going to change the world. Those are yeah. the ones that are going to do the greatest things and know how to think outside the box and know how to focus on so many different things are those kids that are struggling in school and who teachers and administration are making them feel like they're not smart. And I am so grateful for teachers and the administration and everything they do, but it's the school system. It's not set up to make mm-hmm. these kids feel successful and make them feel like you're going to grow up and you're going to do great things.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned your son might not know how to put a mathematical formula together, but you said he's out in the back, like renovating your chicken coop and, you know, putting a roof on. I mean, come on.
What's more important?
Yeah.
Those math skills that he's never going to use or building his mom a chicken coop.
You're right. That's right.
Got mom all fired up.
Mama bear. Yep.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. It was fun to get to know you a little better.
It was absolutely fun to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you to Spencer and for Josh and Pfister and yeah, some of the new sponsors, you know, Odie, yeah. A.O. Smith,
yeah.
That are jumping on board, that are reinvesting into the trades, right? It's absolutely more than just selling product. They're reinvesting in their future by investing in the young people's future. And so we super appreciate that. We appreciate they featured our story. And we hope that it might reach some younger Gavins.